Let's bring in Mike Kazi as we check sports. Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Well, this is it's interesting that we're going to talk sports because the NFL once again leads off with me. New York Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar of the Seattle Seahawks have warrants out for their arrest. Police allege they stole thousands of dollars in cash and valuables from a party in Florida. Of course, with what the Giants and Seattle have issued statements that they are aware of this now and that they're investigating it and that they're going to have a decision very soon because the men have not formally been arrested yet. But according to police, listen to this, Mike. They were in a town in Florida. An argument broke out at a party they were at. Now listen to this, okay? These are two NFL players who make good money anyway. Baker took out a semi-automatic firearm. Listen, then men began to steal watches and other valuables from party guests.
So they just mugged them.
Baker reportedly told a third man who was wearing a red mask to shoot at someone who had just arrived at the party.
Well, Florida, I know theft with a weapon is like an automatic 10 years in jail or something.
Well, listen to this now, okay? Listen to this, and this is going to really freak you out. Baker and Dunbar allegedly stole, listen to this, about $7,000 in cash, watches that were worth about $18,000 to $30,000. Folks, this is money they make in a quarter or in playing in a half in a football game. You don't understand crime. That's one thing. But crime like this...
This isn't crime. This is stupidity.
It's stupidity, and it's not crime for the money. It's crime. It has to be crime for the excitement. It's just that bizarre.
Well, some of these thugs, they just like the fact that they can show their power over somebody because they have a weapon, and when they have a weapon, they can make you do whatever they want. And like I said, I'm not 100% sure about it, but I know Florida has a real heavy law of theft with a weapon, if you're armed. And I hope that if they did it, and it sounds like they did, they're prosecuted, and they go to jail for 10 years, just like you or I would. I don't care if they play in the NFL. I don't care if they're Hall of Famers. If they produced the weapon and committed the crime, they need to go to jail.
It's just unbelievable anyway.
Stupid.
So what do you have to add to the sports list this morning?
What do I have? It's going to be interesting to see what happens with baseball because they laid out a program for them to come back. Now the players are complaining about it. So like you should do for anyone else that's unemployed. And if their jobs are back for them to go back to work and they don't go, they shouldn't. They not only should they lose their jobs, they definitely shouldn't be getting paid from anywhere. So if these baseball players decide they don't want to play, they get no check and sit home and, you know, they're not going to have a hard time because they make so much money that they have probably saved up. But when you're not getting paid your millions of dollars this year, see how that feels. I think that if they have the safety involved, and they probably do, these guys should go out and play. That's what they're getting paid to do.
It's you know, that's the way it is. We're in Connecticut. Retail stores can open slowly beginning on the 20th. And, of course, we operate the Bargain Barn, which is a thrift shop to help support what we do here at our 501c3. We polled all our workers that get paid and said, you know, do you feel safe enough to come back to work? And all our volunteers as well. And almost all of them said yes, they were itching to get back to work. And we're going to have a lot of safety precautions in effect for them. But, of course, nothing is perfect. But if you're an athlete and they have you play in empty stadiums and stuff like that and you're isolated all the way around, you know, hey, go back to work and let's get back to some sort of normal here.
Well, I tell you what, if my school, which we're out for the year, if they called me tomorrow and said, hey, listen, we're starting up school Monday, I'll be there a half hour early because that's my job, and that's what I want to go do. I want to go work. I want the opportunity to keep my job and make money to survive. That's what I'm here for, and that's what I would do. And you could see it. I mean, I don't know about up there where you are, but down here, there's a lot more people out. The cars are out. There's I mean, at one point you go out in the street and you wouldn't see a car. Now you see cars, you see people. People aren't dumb. They can see what the data and the statistics are saying, and they want out, and you can't blame them for it.
All right. Do we have any horse racing to talk about?
Yeah, we got horse racing. Santa Anita's opening up. I mean, that's one place I wish would stay closed because the racing there is so bad. But you're seeing signs of life. Santa Anita's opening up. Churchill Downs is opening up. Churchill Downs is the epicenter of racing right now, between horse flesh and jockeys. Everybody's going there. You still have the two tracks running in Florida, Gulfstream and Tampa Bay. Gulfstream runs all summer, but Tampa Bay, to accommodate horsemen, they extended their meet to the end of the month. And like I said, out on the leftist coast, the Golden Gate and Santa Anita's opened up too. So now you have five major venues for horse racing, which is good for the people that own horses because they still need to pay their bills, and if the horses aren't running, they're not getting any income, and it's a one-way street with money going out, and it's just a matter of time of how long you can do that. So finally, the owners, the jockeys, the trainers, and the people working in the back stretch and everybody involved with it finally have the opportunity to start putting some money back in their pockets. So we're going to go to Churchill. Next weekend, they jump right into their stakes. Tomorrow's their opening day, so I had to pick one race from there. But they don't have a stake, but like I said, they got a bunch of stakes coming up within a month of their running, so it's going to be a real nice meet. The eighth race tomorrow is a mile on the turf. It's an $81,000 allowance race. Top purse is $81,000. They run for some nice money out in Kentucky. This draws a field of 12 with a bunch of also eligibles. Couple of horses I'm looking at. One is the six-horse Lebec. This horse raced 13 times with one win, but hit the board six times. 4 for 5 with that win coming over the turf. Hasn't run since last October, but's training very well over the Turfway Park artificial surface for Mike Maker. Joe Tolomo, who's fresh off of a leading riding season at Oaklawn, which was the major place for the last month, he gets the mount on this horse off the layoff. And this horse has some tactical positioning in this race, and I think after running in New York up at Saratoga and running pretty well, has a shot at hitting the board at 6-1. Another horse I'm looking at is the four-horse Tankerville. Hasn't run since last August in Ireland, first time in the Billy Mott barn coming out. Some decent race at Payson Point inning for this race. Another horse coming in off a layoff that might run pretty good is the two-horse Hell or High Water, trained by Darren Miller. Darren Miller usually has a lot of horses running in Florida over the winter, but not this year. He only has nine starters so far this year and won with two of them. So this horse coming in off a maiden win and a $133,000 maiden special weight win at Kentucky Downs last August. Training very well at Keeneland for this race. This horse has a pretty good shot to hit the board as well. But my top pick is going to be the one, Bama Breeze. This horse has one start last September at Churchill on the turf with a win at 23-1. So this horse is 1-for-1 on the turf. Ran a pretty decent number as a two-year-old last September. He ran a 67 buyer. He can go up to anywhere to 85 to 88 with this one coming in as a three-year-old. He is running against older horses. He gets a weight break, gets the rail, gets Leperoux, who was red hot down at Gulfstream before he went into a semi-retirement, and at 10-1 is my play in this race. So I'm going to use the one Bama Breeze with the 4, the 2, and the 6, making my exactas. Couple stakes races down at Gulfstream. The ninth race is an overnight $75,000 stake going a mile on the turf. This race does draw a big field of 11. Your favorite in here is going to be the 10 Got Stormy, justifiably so. Last November at Santa Anita in the Breeders' Cup Mile, this horse ran second as the 3-1 favorite. Doesn't meet any type of caliber of that horse in this race tomorrow. 9-5 morning line will probably be a lot less than that. But I'm going to try to beat him with a horse in here. That's the 8-horse Tappet Today, trained by Chad Brown. Chad Brown has two runners in here. He has the one horse, new horse, Sahara, is probably going to get some action with Ortiz on it. But this horse with Dylan Davis aboard is going to be my pick here. This horse, coming off a layoff from last August, ran in December and February at Tampa and Gulfstream, respectively, and won by three at Tampa and ran a very good third. Didn't get the best of trips that day by Castellano in the Grade 3 Suwannee River. This horse is bred, is a lightly raced five-year-old, has a lot of room for improvement, and I think improve is what this horse will do tomorrow. So the eight-horse Tappet today is my top pick in the ninth at Gulfstream with the favorite, Scott Stormy, to round out my exacta. One more race is the seventh race. It's a stake, $100,000 stake, overnight stake, the Musical Romance for Florida breds. And that's the important thing in this race. Draws a field of nine. There's a bunch of horses in here. The seven horse Lady Island is going to be is a 7-5 morning line favorite, will be the favorite, with nine starts at Gulfstream, six wins, 2 seconds in the third. That means this horse has never been off the board at Gulfstream. I think this horse hits the board tomorrow but gets beat. You have to read the form to understand why I'm picking this horse. I'm picking the three, Wildwood's Beauty. If you look at this horse and look at his Gulfstream record, you say seven starts, one win, 6 seconds. This horse doesn't like to win. You look at the company that this horse has been running against, and the move back to statebreds is all this horse needs to win. Last two times out, ran in two legit races at Gulfstream, a Grade 2 and a Grade 3, ran second. That's against open company. When you look at this horse's races against statebreds, this horse has won 1, 2, 3, 4 times in 7 starts. So when this horse runs against statebred company, this horse wins. Wildwood's Beauty wins tomorrow. My top pick in the 10th race at Gulfstream is the 3, Wildwood's Beauty, and a couple horses I'm going to use underneath. One is the 7, the favorite, Ladies Island, and the other horse I'm going to use is a horse coming over from Tampa Bay, the 4 horse, 260. So a 3-4, a 3-7 exacta box, and some win money on the 3, Wildwood's Beauty, in the 10th at Gulfstream tomorrow. So those are a couple races that we can watch and wager on tomorrow, if you have an account.